Still can't believe I get to come up here and share God's word with you. Let's pray. Father, we give you the glory today, Lord. Fill this place, Father. Have your spirit move upon our hearts today, Father, as we worship you. We lift our prayers up to you, Father. We give you the glory for everything that you have done, are doing, and are going to do, Father. I love these people here, Father. And I just pray that your word penetrates every one of our hearts today. In Jesus' name, amen. If you didn't get a listening guide or a pen, can you raise your hand? Because these guys have one. This is like, I say it every Sunday. This is an important message, praise God. 2005, here's a hand up here. 2005, I got to sit. Well, first of all, I want to thank Jason and the men who went to the Ignite conference. I think there's a little picture there of, what was it, over 8,000 men together at Liberty University. That's what it looked like right there over the weekend, just praising the Lord and bringing men together and hearing great speakers. They let the Steelers quarterback in there. I had struggled with that, man. But I'm going to do it anyway. But praise God for all that. Anyway, in 2005, Kathy and I got to spend a week in, well, really five days, four nights in Nashville, the week of what they call the Dove Awards. And there were a lot of Christian artists there and speakers. And by accident, I got to go in a room with one of my heroes, Tony Evans, with probably 30, 35 people, spent about an hour and a half with him. And he's one of my favorite preachers of all times. And I remember this a couple of weeks ago that he talked about age there. And I wanted to start this message out. It is, how does an ambassador live? But the first half of this message, I want to talk about your life so far. I want you to look at your life so far, and I have some questions for you. And then I want to get into what an ambassador looks like and how he lives his life. But Tony Evans shared his teaching this way. He said, there are many people today who would consider themselves young. If I would take a group of 20-somethings and ask them if they are young, most, if not all, would raise their hand and say, yeah, I'm young. He says, there's only one problem. You cannot measure your age by your birthday. And I'm thinking, what in the world is he talking about? He says, you can only measure your age by your death date. See, if you're 35 and you're going to live to be 40, then you're probably an old man. If you're 45 and you're going to live to be 90, then you're still pretty young. You can only measure how old you are by the time you have left before you die. No one really knows when they're going to die. Nobody. So no one really knows who's old and who's not. You know, and now that I'm on Medicare, I really stress that. You know what I mean? But I came today to speak to you, hoping to get you to look over your life so far. And I want to ask you four questions today. They're right there in your listening guide. If you feel led to fill them in, maybe someone would win a new car today. I don't know. But question number one, what year were you born? Question number two, what year were you born again? Now, if you don't have an answer to that second question, that's okay. We're glad that you're here today. I was 29 years old. My wife was 27 before we really knew what it meant to be born again. That we knew what it meant to ask Jesus to forgive you of your sins, to surrender your life and accept Christ as your Lord and Savior, realizing that He died on the cross for you. Question number three. So if you know what year you were born, you know what year you were born again. Question number three, if you were to walk into a room right now and it was just you and Jesus and He asked you to give you an account of your life so far here on earth, what would you say to Him? What would you say to Jesus? And then question number four, what do you think He would say to you about your life so far? Hebrews 4:13 says, no creature is hidden from His sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of Him who must give an account. Romans 14:12 says, so then each of us will give an account to himself to God. And you might be sitting here, maybe you're a teenager today, and thinking, well, what do you mean by giving yourself an account to God? You mean all the stuff I did behind closed doors? All the stuff I hid from my wife or things that I thought about or things that I said or things that I did or didn't do. And I'm here to tell today the ladies that you don't get off the hook either. Things you thought about, things you said, things you did or didn't do. Teenagers, you're not off the hook today either. Things you did, things that you hid from your parents will be uncovered. It will be laid bare before the eyes of him whom he must give an account to. None of us are exempt. Yesterday, just going over this message, a couple of verses came to my mind. If you want to write this down, look at it later. Matthew 12, 35 through 37. Three verses that really have hit to the core of my life that were spoken, I'd say, 25 years ago. Because you think about your life so far and you look at these verses in Matthew and it says, if you want to look it up, it's Matthew 12, 35 through 37. The good person out of his good treasure brings forth good. And the evil person out of his evil treasure brings forth evil. And in these two verses, you just can't get away from that. It says, I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give an account for every careless word they speak. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. It's a heavy word. But none of us are exempt. Every tombstone that I've ever seen has the name of the person buried there, and then they have the year that they were born. But then in the middle, they have this little dash before they put the year that they passed away. And that's what I came to talk to you about today, that dash between the year you were born and the year you would die. What would Jesus say to you? What do you think you need to do starting today to get things right with God? There's a couple of verses in Isaiah 55. It says in verse 6, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. And that verse is telling us that salvation, grace, mercy, forgiveness are available to the soul that's willing to seek him, that's willing to call on him. Such true seeking and faith, I'm putting you, listen, God, is accompanied by repentance, which is described as forsaking ways and thoughts and turning from sinful living to the Lord. A sinner must come believing in God, recognizing his sin and desiring forgiveness and deliverance from that sin. At the same time, we must recognize our own inability to be righteous or to satisfy God and cast himself on God's mercy. And then in the beginning of verse 7 says, let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Because the world does not rely on God. The world assumes that human goals are the highest good. The world's concept of the highest good is influenced and limited to their wants and their desires and their needs. And as Christians, we shouldn't really live our life dependent upon what our wants are or our desire, our needs. If you had the blessing of being married and you base your marriage on your wants or your needs and your desires and not on your spouse's, you really don't know what a godly marriage is. And then I love the end of verse 7 in Isaiah 55 because it says, let him return to the Lord, that he may have compassion on him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon all the stuff you did behind closed doors. All the mean things you said, all the times you beat up your brother or beat up your sister, all the time you yelled at your mom or dad and said, I hate you. If you return to the Lord, he will have compassion on you and he will abundantly pardon you. So if you're not born again because you've never repented of your sins and accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you feel your heart pounding right now because you're looking to your answers to those questions of what would the Lord say about your life so far, and maybe your heart's pounding and you've been thinking about your life and you know you need Christ today, that today, March 19, 2017, could be your birthday. That you got born again. Hebrews 12:2 says, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand throne of God. God's ways demonstrate the power of God at work in every situation. Fill in that word every, because you can't get around it. His power can demonstrate at work in every situation. And if your marriage at this moment seems to be hopeless, headed for destruction, if you choose to put Christ in the middle of your relationship, things begin to take on a different perspective. There is a couple that comes here probably once a year, the past 12 years that I've been here, maybe in a good year twice. And I thought about them this week, and I texted them, because I know they're struggling in their marriage. And I thought to myself, man, if you can come, if you would allow yourself to be a part of a fellowship that wants nothing else but to see Christ's words manifested, that His Spirit would move upon our hearts and upon our marriages and upon our relationships with our children, His power can change that. He can move anything. So if you choose to put Christ in the middle of your relationship, things begin to take a different perspective. And I've gotten the blessing of marrying a lot of people. I love doing premarital counseling. I love talking about marriage. I love being married. It's a powerful thing. And if you feel your marriage is no match for God, you don't know the Almighty God, the God of the Bible, the awesome God whose kingdom continues to go forth today in 2017. Christ will change your marriage into something wonderful and exciting if He is allowed His way with you. If you allow His way with you. From God's perspective, the truth of Jesus Christ is the filter for everything presented as truth. And when I think about that statement, I think about teenagers and I worry about all the voices you're hearing. And it's like I come up here, it's just like I want to protect you. I want to tell you that God loves you. And I want to tell you there is a filter that you need to use when you're watching TV, when you're going to the movies, when you're listening to music. What is that filter? On Friday, we were at Home Depot and I told Kathy, we better get a new filter for our, unit, our furnace. And I got home and took the old one out. Oh, my gosh. I mean, it looked like my pants. It was unbelievable. I mean, it was just black. It was dirt and everything. Then I thought to myself, well, maybe I should check the air filter in my car. Oh, my gosh. It was so dirty. What are you using as your filter for truth? When you're listening to the media, what are you using as your filter? Because every news organization that you turn on, they think they're sharing what their truth is. And as a Christian, you'd be able to use that filter that we find in His Word and realize that the Holy Spirit is really your filter. And you pray and you go to Him and ask you, Lord, is what I'm hearing truth? What filter am I using? Because really with the media, and it's all about Republican and Democrat, when it really should be all about right and wrong. Not Republican and Democrat. It should be all about good or evil. And that's our filter to know whether it's true or not. God's ways provide His people all that is available from God. And what do we get from God? His wisdom, His power, His grace, His provision, His patience. If you open up your Bible, and I never realized this, I've been studying the Bible since 1981, and I looked at the last four verses of the book of Acts, Acts 28. If you have your Bible today, look at it. It's kind of wild. Because Acts 28:28, this is Paul, Luke wrote the book of Acts, but this is Paul talking. He says in verse 28, therefore, let it be known to you that this salvation of God has been sent to the Gentiles. They will listen. That's cool. They will listen. And then for some reason, the Bible that I've been using this year, the ESV, doesn't have verse 29 in it. Doesn't have verse 29. It goes from 28 to 30. Anybody's Bible do that? It's unbelievable. Then I found out that some versions, verse 29 says, and when he had said these words, the Jews departed, having much dispute among themselves. And then in verse 30, he lived there 2 whole years at his own expense. And then I looked at the rest of this verse and I'm thinking, this is what God wants his church to do right here. And welcomed all who came to him, proclaiming the kingdom of God, teaching about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness and without hindrance. That's beautiful. That's a beautiful way to end the book of Acts. Welcomed all who came in here, proclaiming the kingdom of God, teaching them about the Lord Jesus with all boldness and without hindrance. So when God gets a hold of your heart and you become his child by accepting what he did on the cross for the payment of all the wrongs that you've done, he pardons you, and all of a sudden you come, what I've been talking about for a couple months, an ambassador for him. What does an ambassador look like? And I have 5 things that I think we should be doing if we want to consider ourselves an ambassador for Christ. The first one, it's a person who's passionate about loving God and loving others according to God's ways. And I'm writing that and I'm thinking about our vision statement about loving God and loving others and living missionally. It's right there. If you want to be an ambassador, you have to be a person that's passionate about the things of God and loving others according to God's ways. As a believer, you are more than just a resident of this world. You have become an ambassador functioning according to kingdom ways. God's ways are not the same as the ways of the world. It says in Isaiah 55:8-9, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are as higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, so my thoughts than your thoughts." 2 Corinthians 10:3-5, you should have this verse circled, highlighted, underlined in your book. Because an ambassador, if we want to be passionate about loving God and passionate about loving others, though we walk in the flesh, we're not waging war according to the flesh, for our weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, for they but have divine power to destroy strongholds. We are praying this morning, just Bill and I are thinking, is there strongholds on this church? We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God and take every thought captive to obey Christ. The pattern of ambassador is ruled by love, not by power, not by greed, not by ambition, not the power of this world, but the power of the Holy Spirit. On Thursday, it was about 3:45, and I'm really going over my questions from last week for, you know, to go into community groups this Sunday, and talking about persecution, and I'm just sitting there and thinking at my desk, we really don't know what persecution is. You know, you want to go over and live in Nigeria, Africa, and find out that 20,000 people have been killed by Muslim extremists in the last 6 years. If you want to look at Nigeria and hear that 1.2 million people and their families have been pushed out of their homeland, that's persecution. So I'm sitting there thanking the Lord for all we have, the freedoms we have in America. And I'm sitting in my desk and all of a sudden I hear drip, 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 drip. And a foot from me is drip water's coming through the ceiling in my office. And I'm thinking, where's that coming up? And then I look, and then it started running down at him off. I'm driving trash cans, putting it in there. Keith ended up on the roof. Brandon ended up on the roof. Had the roof guy here. I mean, there's holes in our roof, and I can't understand why, you know what I mean? And you try to look at it spiritually, you know what I mean? Is God trying to tell us something? Is he telling us to be stronger in him? He's telling us to look more to him. Is he telling us that he's here to fill those holes in our life, that he wants the Spirit of God to move upon this place? Who is an ambassador? Number two, it's a person who's passionate about being controlled by the Spirit of God. Please fill in that word, control, because a lot of people have trouble with control. Romans 8, Paul says, for those who live according to the flesh sends their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, capital S, set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile towards God. And you're going to hear voices on news programs, wherever you are. You're going to hear voices that are hostile to God. And you have to have that filter in your heart ready to penetrate and ask the Spirit of God to show you the difference between right and wrong and good and evil. It says, for the mind is set on the flesh is hostile to God, but it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to Him. But if Christ is in you, although your body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. The Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. He who raised Jesus Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. Which means the Holy Spirit is a part of you. He's part of your life. You use Him as your thinking process. You use Him to teach you the things of God. You ask the Holy Spirit to take this Word of God and make it alive in your hearts. Because you're a new creation and you know Christ and you want to make a difference from Him. And you want to be an ambassador for Him. Number three, an ambassador is a person who's passionate about knowing and doing the will of God. Tony Evans also shared in that teaching this little scenario. So many people today are living empty lives. There was a man who once said he was dying to finish high school so he could go on to college. Then he was dying to finish college so he could start his career. Then he was dying to get married so he could start a family. Then he was dying for his kids to turn 18 so they could get out of the house. Then he was dying to retire. Then he was just dying. And he never really got around to living because he never connected the temporal state with his eternal state. He never connected time with eternity. In 1 John 2:16 and 17 tells us, for all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh, the desires of the eyes, and the pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world. And you teenagers, as you're growing up and you're getting into young adulthood and adulthood, there's going to be desires of the flesh the rest of your life. There's going to be the desires of your eyes the rest of your life. There's going to be pride that you're going to have to suppress the rest of your life because the Bible says that's not really from the Father. It's from the world. And the world is passing away along with his desires. But whoever does the will of God abides forever. I'm talking about eternity. I can't explain it. It's hard to understand it. But can you imagine spending eternity with God? Eternity. But if you're here today and you base your life on cravings or on lust or boasting of what you have and do, you're going to live an empty life. God created us not for time. I truly believe that. You might disagree. God created us not for time, but for eternity. He works in the midst of time, but He always has eternity in mind. When God works in your life, He'll bring you to a broader dimension of what His kingdom is all about. And you might be parents here that have kids that really aren't serving God or really aren't a part of a church family, and you're thinking, God, touch their hearts. Get a hold of their hearts. Get them to realize that there is eternity, that we're only a short time here on earth. And we're going to leave one time and we're going to have to give an account to Him of what we did here on earth. How did we use the money He blessed us with? How did we use our gifts that He blessed us with and our time that He blessed us with and our passions? What did we do to make a difference for Him? And having been transformed through a relationship with God through faith in Christ Jesus, because that's the only way it can happen, such a person's mind, such a person's heart, such a person's will in life belong to Christ alone. And when we become a child of God, we have been reoriented to God and to God's kingdom. We become an ambassador. Number four, who is an ambassador? It's a person passionate about God's word and being probably one of the greatest words a parent's love. Obedient. Obedient. I put this sweater on today. I'm thinking, what in the world does GCO stand for? I was trying to come up with a good thing, you know. Good Christians are obedient, you know, godly Christian, yeah, praise God. I don't know what it stands for. But it's about being obedient. Jesus called a few men to follow him. And then he spent 3.5 years teaching and training them about the ways of God's kingdom. And can I tell you something? You entered the kingdom of God when you responded to Jesus as the Lord of your life. From that moment on, your life would be forever changed. And you would learn from God's word and from the leading of the Holy Spirit to see life from God's perspective. And it really doesn't matter how young or old you are. I mean, we probably got fifth graders that ran back here in the back who understand the perspective of God. I mean, they're young, but they still, when you receive Christ in your life and ask Him to forgive your sins, your life becomes different. And if your life remains obedient to what the Lord has asked, He will ensure that what He purposed will come to pass. The last way I want to tell about an ambassador, and I think this is where we need to grow in the most, is this fellowship. It's a person who's passionate about sharing Christ. Sharing Christ. The world seeks to make big impressions with immediate results. And God, He starts very small. He will cause growth. Small at first. Maybe unseen. Maybe unobserved. Maybe like yeast in a bread that you don't see. But in the end, His rule will be extensive and thorough. And I thought to myself, one man or woman submitted to God can impact a whole company where he or she works, an entire community where he or she lives. A single student can impact a whole campus. One inmate can radically change a whole prison. One child can influence a whole family. One humble and obedient life can change an entire church. Let your life function from God's perspective. God wants the world to see and know Him in His ways, not see you in the world's ways. Let God manifest Himself through your life. Christian men and women must become ambassadors and function by kingdom ways. Then I thought to myself, well, I can't walk out of here today without telling you what I would say to Jesus. If I sat in a room with Him, if I got to go and sit in a room with Jesus, what would I say to Him? And He got to go to the Word. And I thought about Philippians 3:10-14. I'm going to change some words in there, so forgive me for that. But I would look at Jesus and say that I may know You and the power of Your resurrection, and may share in Your sufferings, becoming like You in Your death, that by any means possible I may obtain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained this or have already perfect, but I press on to make it known, because Jesus, You have made me Your own. Jesus, I do not consider that I've made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining towards what lies ahead, I press on towards the goal of the prize of the upward call of God in You and for You, Jesus. That would be my response to Him. So let's all make a pact today to press on as ambassadors and to live out the kingdom ways as kingdom citizens. So to recap those five things, if you want to be an ambassador, you have to be passionate about loving God and loving others according to God's word, according to God's ways. You have to be passionate about allowing the Holy Spirit to control you. You have to be passionate about knowing and doing the will of God. You have to be passionate about knowing God's word and being obedient. And you have to be passionate about sharing Christ. If the band would come forward, please. We got some time. Praise God. Jesus guided ordinary men such as fishermen, tax collectors, and students to live by God's ways. And as servants in their world, God worked through them to turn the Roman Empire upside down. And don't you think God wants to work through us today and use us in our neighborhoods and in our jobs and everywhere we go? And I really feel like multitudes entered the kingdom of God because of their faithful witness. God has always done this. This is the way that He can do it through your life and in His current and in this current generation too. Christ often used ordinary situation to teach His spiritual truth. Often His parables contain paradoxes, statements that seem to contradict Himself. Think about it. Jesus said, if you want to save your life, you must lose it. Jesus said, to be ruler of all, you must be a servant of all. Jesus said, to live, you must die. So spiritual truths often contradict what we accept as reality. And Christ demonstrated His lordship by washing the disciples' feet. You can read about it in John 13. If you want to come forward, ushers, we're going to take an offering. And we're just going to worship and open this place up for the Holy Spirit to move on our hearts. Father, I give You the glory for Your word. Father, thank You for every word, every letter, every sentence, everything that Your Spirit breathed upon the writers of the Bible, Lord. And we want to stand fast in that because we know where our hope comes from. We'll never get hope from this world, no matter how much we have obtained, how much we know, how much we do. Father, it's only through You. So, Father, as we worship You, Father, and open up these altars for those of Your children, and maybe someone wants to become one of Your children today, Father, we ask You to bless our worship time, our prayer time, our offering time. Father, we want to use our offering to please You, Father. Fix the holes in our roof, Lord. Fix the holes in our heart. Fix those who have realized that the world is not going to give them comfort or hope or joy, maybe for a season. But Father, fix those holes in our lives, Father, so that we can become an ambassador for You, so that we can make our appeal, well, really Your appeal, through us to other people that You put in our path, Father. Give You the glory. Bless. Father, thank You that we got the blessing of coming together today free. Free to get in our cars, free to come here, Father, free to hear Your word without any suppression being done. Or, Father, we just thank You for the liberties that we have, Father. This country, from what I understand, was founded on Your principles. That when the founding fathers got together, they prayed and fasted because they wanted a constitution, Father, that represented You, Lord. And, Father, we're just thankful that we have a place here. This house is Your house, Father. From what I understand, there are verses written on the floor underneath the carpet here, Lord. That's powerful. So, Father, we pray that for everyone that's here today, Father, maybe there's someone here today that heard something from Your truth, Father, and your Spirit opened up their heart and knocked on the door of their heart, like it says in Revelation 3, Lord. And if we choose to open up the door and allow You to come inside, Father, You will give us the promised Holy Spirit who will guide us, teach us, convict us, move us, take us to different places where You want us to share the gospel. Father, I lift up Cheryl Lynn, a lady that Kathy and I met in Costco yesterday, Father. And I'm just thankful for that opportunity to be able to share what You've done in our own lives, Father. We just need to spend the rest of our lives just giving you the glory and thanking you for all the things you do. And yeah, there is going to be times where you're going to have us go through trials. Like this lady at the altar right now. But when we have trials, Father, your word tells us to glorify you in them. And then when we do that, we gain perseverance. And through perseverance, we gain character. And through character, and we gain hope. And I pray for those three things for everyone that's here today, Father. Help us to be mindful of the people around us, Father. Help us to be listening and watching and allowing the Spirit to speak through us, Father. He'll give us the words to say. Father, help us sanctify the Lord God always in our heart and always be ready to give a reason for the defense, for the hope that we have with gentleness and respect. Help us to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto us. Help us to realize that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Help us to walk in wisdom towards them and without, redeeming the time. Let our speech be always with grace. Always with grace, seasoned with salt, that we may know how to answer everyone. Father, I pray for these teenagers. I pray that they understand what the filter is, and that's you, Christ. I pray that wherever they go and whatever they do and whatever they listen to, they're using that filter, saying, is it of God? Is that good or evil? Is that right or wrong? And help us to stand fast with you, Father. I give you the glory for today. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. I love you all. Oh, boy. I forgot to tell you, your green sheet in here. I forgot all about it. Look at this green sheet that's in your listening guide. Look at it. What the world says to what the kingdom says. Amen. Hey,